He is one of the most sought-after personnel executives around the National Football League. He could be a general manager virtually anywhere, but he's opted to stay here as assistant general manager to Ozzie Newsome, our guest on Ravens 101, Eric DaCosta. We pick it up in 1998 when you go out on the road. And you become a road scout for 4 or 5 years. The strangest life, among the strangest lives in America. Share the experience being a Midwestern scout, a Northeastern Boston kid, Midwestern scout, just out of college. How'd that work for you?
Well, I had great training, you know, from people like Ozzie and Phil Savage, James Harris, George Kokinas, people that, you know, taught me the profession of being an area scout. I think the hardest part for me was just navigating a new part of the country, learning where to go, how to get there, you know, the highways, getting to the football office. I feel like I had the football aspect understood pretty quickly, but it was the life skills portion, just getting around the country, managing my time, budgeting my time to type reports at night. Being an area scout is not a glamorous profession by any stretch. It's a very lonely profession. At the time, I was single, so I didn't have any family attachments or anything like that. But it was challenging. It's hard being away from the team. You feel removed. Being in the office for 2 years and then leaving the nest is hard because you're around the team every day when you're in the office. Once you leave the team, you feel removed from the team. You don't feel like you really know what's going on, and that's a challenge.
I would guess that with FaceTime and the web and the way when you send a David Blackburn out as a young scout who's now in the Midwest or out in Colorado, it's a little bit different for these kids than it was for you back then.
The technology has changed, you know, dramatically. In fact, when I started out with the Ravens in 96, we didn't have email yet. We didn't even have an email system in place.
You're looking for pay phones?
All that. We had calling cards. One of the things they gave all the area scouts was an AT&T calling card. And we would use that to make our calls. We'd get to the hotel room at night and plug in the 1-800-588 number, and you'd call home. And that's what we did. But now with technology and the FaceTime and the Skype and the internet and the text messaging and all that, I think it makes the job a lot easier from the standpoint of being able to maintain important family relationships and things like that. But it's still a very challenging. The other thing is having the Garmin and the TomTom and all the navigational systems. We didn't have that. You know, I would go out every year and get the Rand McNally Atlas and use that, and actually just on the old map atlas that you would get at Walmart, and map out my territory and the routes that I was going to take to get around the country.
Do you remember the worst time you ever got lost? You're stuck somewhere in southern Mississippi. You don't know how to get home.
You know, I got lost so many times, but I do remember one time flying to Minneapolis, getting in at like 11 o'clock at night, and thinking that I could get to Cedar Rapids, Iowa, that night. But there was construction, there was an accident, I had to go the circuitous route. I ended up getting in like 6 o'clock in the morning, and I was just exhausted and couldn't find any coffee, anywhere to get any coffee. Didn't think I was going to make it. Actually stopped off at the side of the road for a while to sleep. A policeman pulled up behind me just to check and make sure I was okay. But those are the things that scouts do all the time.
Was there a discovery in that era that kind of said, hey, this DaCosta kid's got a clue? Was there somebody that you point to and say, I had a little bit of a hand in a Bart Scott or something like that that you remember?
Well, I think, you know, as a scout, you want to make sure that you do your work as best as you can. You have all the information. You're detailed. You take pride in what you do, and you're competitive, meaning you don't leave anything to chance. You have all the information right there. You know the players. I try to do that. I think any move that this organization made back then or makes now, we make as a team. You know, starting with Ozzie all the way down to the player personnel assistants, every decision we make is as a team. But I always felt like my job as a scout was to have all the answers. If Ozzie asked me a question, if Phil asked me a question, you know, I would have the answer to their question to help them make the decisions.
The move forward then became the director of college scouting, right? That was the next big. Did that bring you back home and now you're kind of supervising that group of guys?
Well, it did. I've still traveled extensively throughout the country. I think to be a really good director of college scouting, you have to see the players, know the players, the fabric of the players, the makeup of the players. So I would travel quite a bit. Now, at that point, I was married, and I actually had my daughter Jane in 2003. So that was more challenging in some respects. I wasn't traveling quite as much, but I was still on the road quite a bit. But that was really an exciting time for me to be able to really sink my teeth into not only scouting, but now organizing. You know, coming up with the theme of the draft, what our strategies were going to be, how to map out the country to get the area scouts organized, to get the coaches on the same page, to really build the chemistry between the scouts and the coaches, which I think is extremely important to start that whole thing. And now to step back, you know, 10 years later and see how all that's come to fruition. That's exciting.
There is an NFL database that most teams subscribe to for scouting so that they don't need to have their own personnel do quite as much work. The Ravens have never been part of that system, so what you set up is really it, correct? I mean, that's what you work off. If there's holes, there's holes.
Well, that's true. And, you know, the other teams, a lot of the other teams belong to National or Blesto, the scouting services. We've always been independent, which means we have to do a little bit more work, but I think we have the best scouts in the league. And our scouts take ownership. They have tremendous pride in what they do. We work very, very hard in the spring when most teams probably are taking some time off after the draft. Our scouts work to look at junior prospects, to come up with a list and all that. We build our own lists. And I think that the nice thing we're able to do, though, is we keep all of our information in-house, which is important. We do some things differently, we think. We think we have a great process of scouting that's been honed over the years, going back to 1996 to the present. We've tweaked things and made changes, and we've developed our scouts. We keep our scouts in Baltimore as long as we can, and we think the system really works for us.
And the system is determined to find guys that play like a Raven, which 10 years ago was kind of something you guys said.
Sure.
Suddenly it kind of became an organizational mantra across the board. A lot of pride in that, right? Because you guys kind of did play like a Raven.
There is. I'm proud of that. When I see that slogan, I think back to those years when we would talk about, you know, players using that. And I think it's interesting, you know, Rex Ryan would be in the draft meetings and he would say, this guy plays like a Raven. And, you know, it's always been the case. When we describe a player and our scout says, this guy plays like a Raven or this guy is a Raven, that means something to us. And I think other teams are stealing that. I saw a picture of the Jets locker room and it said, play like a Jet. But that goes back to Baltimore, and we believe in that. We know what it means, and we've been able to build that culture. It's really a culture of success, of winning, of what you believe works, and of character and chemistry and all those different qualities, and that is what Play Like a Raven is.
A couple of weeks ago, we were in Buffalo. We saw Play Like a Bill, and we were saying, what's that mean? When we come back, we'll dive into what Play Like a Raven really means to Eric DaCosta and everyone here at One Winning Drive. Stay tuned. Ravens 101 continues in just a moment.